Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Good morning. I found a really interesting coffee cup amidst my stuff. My fine sponsors at Bulletproof had sent this along. It's a travel mug. But I feel it's much more. Now, I don't know. It's a wild thing, too, you know. So, see what I do here. Push that. It's got a button here on the front. And then it has like a thing here and a thing here, man. So I'm in the dock, but I'm thinking this is how it's done. Yeah, it is. So you push this button, and it doesn't come pouring out. It's like it's a travel mug, I guess, that actually, you know, allows you to control what you're drinking. That shit's hot, man. Woo! Yeah. Let me see. Let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at the studio this morning. God damn, that motherfucker was hot. Mm. I think what I'd rather do is take the top off like this and let that motherfucker breathe, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's... I don't need it hot so much as I need it potent, you know? So, anyway, last night, I was making something with jalapeno in it. And this is nuts. This is insane. I was making... I was chopping up about, I'd say, almost a dozen jalapeno peppers. And I wasn't wearing a shirt. You know, in other words, there were sort of various parts of me exposed, and it felt like I had goddamn sunburn, you know? I mean, I got it, some of it on my side, some on my arms. At one point, you know, I got it up in my fucking, around my eyes. Because I remembered Dan Northcraft, who used to work with me up in, he's in Oregon now, and was in Oregon. He used to say, he tweeted something the other day. He said, don't pick your fucking nose after you've been chopping up jalapenos, because apparently he did that, and the consequences were sudden. The consequences were immediate. They were sudden, and they were quite sharp. Sharp, you see. What is this fucked up? Oh, I dig what this is, man. I'm digging this show. This is a movie about... This flick that's on right now is the opposite of Elizabeth. This is a movie about the Mary, the Queen of Scots. Isn't that the one that got... executed? I believe it is. How do they get babies to, you know, behave properly in movies? You know? How do they get babies to act? You know, I've never, like, isn't it cruel to have a baby crying and misbehaving or not, you know, like, what do you have to do to a baby to get it to cry and shit? Gotta turn this on because it's driving me nuts in here. It's getting too hot. There is a house in New Orleans. Most people can't say New Orleans, I just said it wrong. It's New Orleans. New Orleans. New Orleans. That's it. That's how you pronounce it. New Orleans. Not New Orleans. Not New Orleans. New Orleans. How do I know? Because I used to goddamn work in that burg. Worked down there for, several months. Then I come down to Miami. That's how you say Miami. You don't say Miami. You say Miami. I'm just kidding. I don't know how you say. You say Miami. And then you say, something else. I don't know what you say. Oh, man. This movie, by the way, is called Irving Goes to Berlin. No, it's called... The Thing from the Deep. starring Katharine Hepburn. Uh-oh, I just turned that motherfucker off. God damn. Fuck.
Fuck, I can't turn that motherfucker off. I didn't mean to do that.
Bitch. It's called Queen Elizabeth jails Queen Mary for 18 years, then puts her to death. Yeah. It's from 1936. Mary of Scotland. Frederick March. Florence Eldridge. So this is the other side. You know, this is the... There's a blonde-haired chap in this movie who's wearing an earring. Looks very effeminate. And looks less than heroic. In other words, he's everything that an evil, slimy bastard would look like in those days to people. Do you understand me? Oh, here she is this morning. Hey, kitty. What's going on? Oh, hey. I don't want you meowing at me. She's meowing at me. You have betrayed me. Here, look. Look at this overacting bullshit. Don't you understand what I am to you and what you are to me?
No, you don't. You don't understand.
Yes? No. There's Frederick March leering in the background. I saw a movie last night. It was pretty good. The Iceman Cometh. From 1973, it was the Eugene O'Neill play. And if you've never seen The Iceman Cometh, it's a... takes place entirely in a bar. And just the most seedy, fucked up, goddamn bunch of guys you ever saw in your life. And it's, you know, essentially about them waiting for Hickey, you know, who's the guy that's going to come and... The good times always roll when Hickey's there. But Hickey, played by Lee Marvin. And Frederick March is in it. Bradford Dillman's in it. Jeff Bridges is in it. Jeff Bridges is great. Young Jeff Bridges. Robert Ryan in, I think it was the last movie he did before he died. Jesus, trying to think now. Pretty good cast. And Frederick March plays the old man who owns the bar. This young man here, as an old man, named, Larry? No, Hoppy. Larry? I don't know which one. But he's the old guy who's the bar owner. And, I'm not going to go into it now because it's just a whole lot of shit happening in this thing. Kirk of the Field, Donnelly's Refuge, just outside Edinburgh. My grandfather is from Glasgow, but I am told that Edinburgh is the place to go. You know, that's where the good shit is. Now, Celtic, are they from Edinburgh? What team is from Edinburgh? Hearts of Midlothian? They got the Scottish Premier League is a league that many feel in the soccer world, the Scottish Premier League is sort of done. Not done, but it should be relegated to a... they should take the two big teams, what they call the old firm, which is Celtic and... the Rangers, Glasgow Rangers. And these two teams should be absorbed into the English Premier League and make it the British Premier League. Meaning... You know, you have this Greater Britain, Great Britain Premier League, as opposed to what it is now, the EPL, or, of course, they name it after the sponsor, the Barclays Premier League. At one time, it had been, I think, the Carlsberg Premier League. Carlsberg had the naming rights for a while. But it's a really intriguing idea. It's a great idea if you're a you know, British Premier League fan or English Premier League fan, as I am. I understand the Scottish football fans wanting the integrity of their league. And, of course, this is a decision that's not with the Scots, it's with the English. They are deciding, and I heard someone say it's a non-starter, it's a non-starter. We're not going to talk about this. But somebody is predicting that it's bound to happen. It's impossible for it not to happen. It's probably going to happen within the next 10 years, if not sooner. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure that the fans of those two teams would love it, you know, even though they're, you know, they're in Scotland. And then you have all the other teams, of which there are, I think in the Scottish Premier League, there's only, are there 12 teams, maybe? Maybe more? You're going from playing in these enormous, you're going from playing in large stadiums in those two big cities, then you're going out to wherever the fuck, you know, and playing in like 10,000 seat stadiums, you know. The other thing that happened was that Rangers had a financial meltdown at one point, not too long ago, within the last 15 years, and they had to be reorganized financially, and they were relegated as the result to, I think, the lowest level, or close to the lowest level of Scottish professional football. So you had, I read this interesting article, all these people traveling from Glasgow to go see their team, you know, because they're big supporters in that part of the world of football. They travel to go see their team. They get on the bus, and they go. And the guy was saying, this is depressing, to be honest with you. You know, we're going off into bumfuck to play these second division and third division teams. And we used to be a first division team. You know, we were bouncing back and forth between Celtic and our stadium and the teams that were at least the best teams in the league. And so they got relegated, and they spent a good portion, I think, of their time in, like, third division, maybe, fourth, third division. And then they finally made it into the Scottish Championship level, which is the second division. And there they have been, and I think that they're, you know, the hope is that, if not this year, I think they're going to be promoted to the Premier level again, and then they're back to where they were. But it was a real clusterfuck, man. Super clusterfuck. All right, man, let me let's see what's going on, y'all. And that would include getting a pair of glasses on my face. Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Mary, Queen of Scotland, is up there on the battlements with Sir Earl of the Bruce of the thing of the whatever.
Really, I do. Really?
Now I know. When I was a kid, I used to watch cartoons, you know, which was the, like, Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes were so fucking funny because they were made a long time, even before I was a kid. I think they were made in the 40s. I think they were still showing Looney Tunes cartoons from the 40s, you know, and they had every female bird, you know, or any kind of a female character, animal, would affect some voice of a movie star occasionally. And one of them, like, there was a bird there that would say, I love you, really, I do. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? You know, I would think that, yeah, I'm like, I was seven. I'm going, who the fuck is that? Well, I guess it was her, Katharine Hepburn, right there. That woman there.
Really, I think that I shall always love you every step of the way. Every day.
There's a woman who's a great example for any woman to follow. She came to Hollywood. She said, this is what I'm going to do. And, well, you need a man. No, I don't need a man. I'm going to just do it my way. Fuck you. And she was so goddamn talented, they couldn't ignore her. She really had to fight. She lived in Hollywood for a while with another woman, that apparently that was some kind of a scandal, you know, living, why are you living with a woman? Because it was, they were sharing expenses, and she just felt like it. I think at one point, Katharine Hepburn was wealthy enough to live on her own. I mean, she eventually made it in Hollywood, but she was living with this woman. She was not a lesbian. She, you know, loved men. She loved married men, Spencer Tracy being the one married guy that she, you know, loved. And there's our good buddy there, Frederick March. But anyway, you ever want to see a great Frederick March movie, go see Best Years of Our Lives. It's a great movie. It's a returning serviceman from World War II and their adjustment to home life. One of them is played by a real veteran who lost his hands in a training accident. I forget this actor's name. He won the Best Supporting Actor that year. But he had hooks, you know, and then the other is Dana Andrews, who plays a Air Force veteran, and then Frederick March is an Army sergeant, and they all come back to their lives in this town, Boonville. It's a fictitious town, and how each one adjusts to the to returning home. It's a great movie. It's based on the book, I think. Wasn't there a book, Best Years of Our Lives? Was it Thornton Wilder, or am I just, like, am I way out of my fucking league on this one? But it's such a beautiful movie, and especially with the wounded soldier who has the prosthetics. They're not even prosthetics in the sense that we know them. They're more or less just utilitarian, these hooks that we're familiar with. If you ever saw them, I used to see them a lot when I was a kid because of the veterans that were... had lost an arm or something in the war, but oh, here's that one actor who's always Scottish. He's always talking like this. Now he's breaking the sword in half, and he's just throwing it on the ground, and he's wearing a pair of blue jeans there. It looks like it to me. Oh, let me see. The End. No, it's not The End. All right, so anyway, this guy was, there was a terrific performance. And he comes home and he just tells this girl, look, you know, don't hang around for me. I know you're just doing it out of pity. You know, I don't want you to, you know. But she really loves him. And there's a couple of beautiful scenes with them. She's trying to convince him, you know, that she wants to, you know, be with him. And then he tells her, you know, and again, this is before today, the development of these prosthetic limbs and hands and things that are just fucking amazing. You know, the prosthetic legs that they have, where guys are playing basketball, guys are running, you know. But they had a scene where he shows her, he says, when I take these off, you know, when he goes to sleep at night, he has to take these off, and it shows him taking them off. I think it was probably a pretty shocking scene for those days. In the movies, where he removes these belts that hold the his arms on, takes them off, and then he gets into his pajamas. He says, "I am helpless now. If there's a fire, if I can't get out of this room, I have no arms. I don't have any hands to open the door, and I need someone here all the time. And you know that will have to be you." And it shows him at one point. You know, as he's saying, I'm going to bed now, Pop. He's talking to his father. He says, okay. So his father gets up and helps him take off these things. And, you know, I think it was the first time that anybody in America, when you went to see the movies, the first time you actually saw what it was that, you know, someone who had this situation to deal with, what they were up against. And it probably went a long fucking way because it was such a popular movie and it was such a... you know, hailed critically. It probably went a long way, I think, toward the generation of people at that time understanding what, pardon me, I've got my hand in my pants, you know, it's, what, you know, these returning veterans, these disabled veterans, what they were facing. So it was, you know, veterans are so fucking used by, you know, they're people, and they have, you know, they are who they are. They're all different kinds of people. There's no one veteran, you know, representing every fucking veteran, you know. They're just guys who are looking to, all right, I did what I did, I'm home, and I'm, you know. And then there's all these people looking to take advantage of them and looking to ride to glory on their fucking backs. And one of the things that pisses me off, these guys that claim to be veterans, but they're otherwise they're completely anonymous on Twitter. You know, they're glory hog, or they're something this, something that. I'm a Navy guy. I'm a this guy. Who the fuck knows what the fuck you are? Ask them their name, and they flip out. They get hostile. You know? Why? How fucking dumb are you, man? Now, don't give me this bullshit about how, you know, the government's watching. Hey, motherfucker, the government's watching everybody, okay? If you think the government's watching, government's watching everybody, and the government can find out who the fuck you are if they want to. The government can find out who owns that Twitter account if they want to. Are you crazy?
Every day I spend my...
You know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, where you live, you know, people are going to get, you turn into a curmudgeon-y old motherfucker. It just doesn't matter. And I have my faults in that area, but people are always, especially the old motherfuckers, you know, that listen to me, are always, do you really like that music? No, I don't. I'm just playing it because I want to piss you off. You want to appear hip, don't you? do I want to appear hip? I want to be relevant and playing the same goddamn motherfucking classic rock over and over again. That's my job. See, I got to be relevant. I have to sort of be connected to the culture just a little bit. You know, one of the things that we completely fucking missed or ignored was, what the hell just happened? Something... I didn't really give that much of a shit anyway, but... Had something to do with something. I forget. All right. We want to get over to Twitter here and find out what's going on. Benghazi committee to walk a fine line in questioning Hillary Clinton. Masked man attacks Swedish school with a sword. One dead. With a sword. U.S. jobless claims data points to firming labor market. Ben Carson knocks Donald Trump from top spot in Iowa. Albuquerque road rage. Man confesses to killing a four-year-old. God damn that. I read about that. I thought I was going to fucking drive to goddamn New Mexico myself and kill the motherfucker. Jeb Bush throws support behind Batman and Supergirl. Why Donald Trump could be right about George W. Bush preventing 9/11. Oh, man, Trump, you are such a fucking imbecile. He is such a fucking imbecile. He really, honest to Christ, is. I'm going to tell you something right now, Trump. If Bush could have prevented 9/11, had you been president, we probably would have got hit more than once. Maybe 5-6 fucking times, you simple-minded motherfucker. I don't give a fuck how much money you made as a goddamn thieving, lying, stealing fucking capitalist. You, as a president, the requirements are far different from you walking around showing everybody your motherfucking dick. I hope that motherfucker gets elected president, and I hope it's a disaster. I mean, that's the only way people are going to learn. Go ahead, put, just like Jesse the Body Ventura is governor of fucking Minnesota. I guess there's people today that tell you what a great fucking governor he was. Bullshit. Same thing with this motherfucker. I hope that guy gets elected president, and I hope, you know, the whole fucking thing turns south. Oh, why should I say that? I hope he does well. How about that? All right. Here we go. Fucking unreal, man. Testing 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. I like that one. This one here. There we go. Although that's not a good restaurant one. Restaurante, restaurante. It's fucking loud as shit. Why is that so motherfucking goddamn loud? What is up with that? God, that's fucking obnoxiously loud. Here we go. That's what I want.